Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Teach Like a Champion Guide to the Science of Reading by Doug LaMove, with Erica Woolway and Colleen Driggs, is a professional education book focused on literacy instruction after students have learned to decode. Positioned within the science of reading movement, it asks a practical question that many schools now face once phonics is in place. What should effective reading instruction look like next? The book answers that question by translating research from cognitive science and literacy into classroom techniques that teachers can use immediately. Its emphasis is not on abstract theory alone, but on the daily decisions that shape whether students become stronger, more engaged readers. Across its chapters, the authors organize their guidance around 7 evidence-based principles, including attention, fluency, background knowledge, vocabulary, writing, sustained reading of real books, and close reading of complex text. The result is a guide meant for teachers, coaches, and school leaders who want literacy instruction to be both rigorous and joyful, grounded in evidence but realistic about classroom demands. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reading instruction beyond phonics. A central contribution of the book is its clear focus on what happens after students can decode words. Much public discussion about the science of reading has centered on early phonics, but LaMove and his co-authors argue that literacy instruction cannot stop there. Students may be able to sound out words accurately and still struggle to understand, discuss, and enjoy what they read. The book, therefore, addresses the next stage of instruction building comprehension, stamina, meaning, and intellectual engagement through evidence-based practice. This framing is important because it challenges the idea that comprehension can be taught mainly through generic strategies detached from content. Instead, the authors present reading as a complex act shaped by attention, fluency, vocabulary, knowledge, and the quality of the text students encounter. Their argument places reading development on a longer continuum, one that extends into upper elementary, middle, and even high school. In doing so, the book fills a gap between early decoding guidance and more advanced literacy teaching. It offers educators a structured way to think about the full arc of reading development and makes the case that post-phonics instruction deserves the same level of scientific seriousness as foundational reading skills. Secondly, attention as the foundation of literacy. One of the most distinctive themes in the book is the claim that attention is not a side issue in reading instruction, but a prerequisite for learning. The authors argue that students can only build knowledge and comprehension from what they actually attend to. In a classroom culture shaped by screens, constant interruptions, and fragmented focus, this point becomes especially urgent. The book connects the science of reading with the science of attention, suggesting that literacy outcomes are affected not only by curriculum and technique, but also by whether students can sustain focus on a text long enough to think deeply about it. This helps explain the author's support for a high-text, low-tech approach and their concern about distractions that compete with reading. The argument is practical, rather than merely philosophical. Teachers are encouraged to shape routines, social norms, and lesson structures that make concentrated reading more likely. By foregrounding attention, the book broadens the science of reading conversation. It reminds educators that comprehension depends on more than instructional slogans or task design. It depends on mental presence. In that sense, the book treats reading as both a cognitive activity and a cultural one, requiring classrooms where books, language, and shared focus can command genuine importance. Thirdly, fluency is a bridge to comprehension. The book gives unusual emphasis to fluency, treating it as a major but often neglected driver of comprehension. In many classrooms, fluency is associated mainly with early elementary practice, yet the authors argue that it continues to matter much later. Their position is that students who read haltingly expend too much cognitive effort on word-by-word processing, leaving less mental energy for meaning. By contrast, fluent reading supports phrasing, expression, and deeper understanding of syntax and tone. The book highlights prosody, expressive reading, and repeated oral reading as meaningful practices rather than mechanical drills. This is one of the text's most practical contributions because it shows how fluency can be developed through routines that connect performance and comprehension. Reading aloud, rereading, and hearing strong models of expressive reading all become tools for strengthening understanding. The authors also link fluency to the social nature of literacy, suggesting that shared oral reading can build engagement and make meaning more audible. This perspective pushes against a narrow view of silent reading as the only serious form of reading. Instead, the book presents fluency as an active bridge between decoding and interpretation. That emphasis is especially valuable for teachers working with older students whose reading difficulties may be less visible but still strongly tied to weak fluency. Fourthly, knowledge and vocabulary as the engines of understanding. Another major theme is the insistence that comprehension is built on what readers know. The authors challenge the long-standing habit of treating comprehension as a set of transferable strategies that can operate independently of content. In their account, background knowledge is central because readers make sense of texts by connecting new information to existing mental frameworks. When students lack relevant knowledge, even a well-designed question or prompt may fail to reveal what they can truly do. Vocabulary receives similar treatment, not as an isolated list of words to memorize, but as a crucial form of knowledge building. The book emphasizes that word learning and knowledge acquisition reinforce each other, especially when students read substantive texts over time. This approach has important instructional consequences. It encourages teachers to choose texts that build coherent bodies of knowledge, to revisit ideas and language across lessons, and to recognize that poor performance may stem from knowledge gaps rather than from weak strategy use alone. By joining knowledge and vocabulary so tightly, the book aligns literacy instruction with broader intellectual development. Reading becomes more than skill execution. It becomes the accumulation of concepts, language, and cultural understanding that enables students to think with greater depth and precision. Lastly, writing, whole books, and close reading for deeper engagement, the book argues that strong literacy instruction should not fragment reading into disconnected exercises. Instead, it advocates for sustained work with real books, meaningful writing, and close reading of challenging text. This is an important stance because many reading classrooms rely heavily on short passages, isolated skills practice, and rapid task switching. LeMove and his co-authors push in the opposite direction. They suggest that students need the experience of living inside whole texts, following ideas over time, and developing richer emotional and intellectual investment in what they read. Writing is presented as part of that process, not just a way to display understanding after reading is finished. When students write in response to texts, they clarify thought, consolidate knowledge, and deepen comprehension. The book also supports close reading, but not as a ritual of overanalysis. Instead, it is framed as the disciplined effort to notice how a complex text works, and to help students rise to its demands. Together, these three elements create a fuller vision of literacy. Whole books build stamina and knowledge, writing strengthens thinking, and close reading sharpens interpretation. The combined message is that joy and rigor are not opposites. Students are more likely to value reading when instruction treats books as meaningful works worthy of sustained attention. In conclusion, the Teach Like a Champion Guide to the Science of Reading is best suited for classroom teachers, literacy coaches, school leaders, and curriculum decision makers who want a practical framework for reading instruction beyond early decoding. It is especially useful for educators who already accept the importance of phonics and now need a clearer map for how to develop comprehension, fluency, knowledge, and reading engagement over the longer term. Readers are likely to value the book for its combination of research-based principles and actionable classroom application. Rather than staying at the level of broad advocacy, it works to translate cognitive science into routines and priorities that can shape daily teaching. That practical orientation gives the book real usefulness in professional development and instructional planning. What helps it stand out in a crowded literacy field is its focus on the often neglected middle space between basic decoding and advanced literary analysis. It also distinguishes itself by linking reading science with classroom culture, especially around attention, oral reading, writing, and the importance of whole books. In realistic terms, this is not a beginning phonics manual and not a purely academic research review. It is a bridge text, ambitious, teacher-facing, and designed to help schools build a more coherent vision of what reading instruction should become after the code has been cracked. If you would like to support Doug LeMove, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.